Shalom, children. Today we are celebrating another special day of Yahweh's called Shavuot. A few weeks ago, we read a parsha that told us what these special days are called. Do you remember what it was? They are called appointed times. Appointed times are days that Yahweh set aside for us to meet with Him or have an appointment with Him. Just like you may have an appointment to go to the dentist on a certain day. Unlike a dental appointment, we don't go to an office to meet with Yahweh. We meet with Him when we put aside going to work or school and instead gather together at services to praise and worship Him. Not too long ago, we celebrated the appointed times of Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. We learned a lot about what the Israelites did on that first Passover and what Yahweh wants us to do also. Do you remember what we ate during those days? Here's a hint. It's part of the name. In the same way we learned about Passover and the days of unleavened bread, today we are going to learn about Shavuot and what Yahweh wanted the Israelites to do. A long time ago, the Israelites moved to their new land called Canaan. They became farmers there, people who plant and harvest things we can eat, as well as herders, people who take care of animals. The Israelites had to grow and gather or raise everything they needed to make the food they ate. They didn't have grocery stores like we do. The crops and herds also provided the Israelites with the ingredients that Yahweh wanted them to use for their offerings to Him. One of the offerings we talked about in another lesson was the grain offering. We learned about different kinds of breads that were given as an offering to Yahweh. Some bread was unleavened, and some bread was leavened. On this special day called Shavuot, the Israelites had to bring two loaves of the leavened kind of bread to the priest. He waved them in the air to present them as an offering of the first fruits of their crops to Yahweh. We don't gather our grain here or have a temple to take bread to, but there are some things that we do to celebrate this day. One of those things is counting time, so that we know what day to observe Shavuot. Yahweh tells us that we need to start with the day after the Sabbath during days of unleavened bread and count 50 days as well as 7 completed Sabbaths to get to Shavuot. We call this counting the Omer. You probably did this at home every day with a craft or special coloring page. Today, we have finished this year's count, and we are ready for the celebration. Another way to remember this day is to have a set-apart gathering and not go to work or school. You can also eat foods with dairy in them to make this day more special and talk about the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, which also happened on this day. How many commandments were there, children? Another thing we will do to make this day special is to read a Bible story about a woman named Ruth. This story relates to this day because it talks a lot about the harvest and Torah. In the story of Ruth, we will see how the people were following many of the rules Yahweh gave in His Torah, rules that we learned about in our other lessons. We can also thank Yahweh for giving us His Torah. Our story happened many years after the Israelites had already moved to the land, made homes for themselves, and started doing their jobs. The story of Ruth begins with a family that lived in Beth Lechem. There was a mom named Naomi and a dad named Elimelech, and their two sons named Mahlon and Chilion. Do you remember the stories of Abraham having to move his family to Mitzrayim because of a famine? And do you remember later on when Abraham's son, Yaakov, had to move his family to the same place all over again? Well, the shortage of food happened again, and now it was Elimelech's family that had to move. They chose to move to a nearby land called Moab. Moab was one of those lands that Yahweh wanted his people to be sure not to imitate in their behavior. Yahweh had said that the Moabites were so bad they could not become his people, not even for 10 generations. I don't know how long they had been living in Moab, but sadly, the head of the family, Elimelech, died. Naomi still had her two sons who decided to get married. But they didn't wait to go back home to marry Israelite women. Instead, they married two Moabite women. One was named Orpah, and the other one was named Ruth. The couples lived in Moab for about 10 years, and then both the sons died too. Naomi was very sad, for her husband and both her sons were gone, and she was not living near any other family. One day, Naomi heard that Yahweh had blessed the Israelites once again, and they now had bread to eat. When she heard this news, Naomi decided it was time to go back home to Beit Lechem. Her two Moabite daughters-in-law began the journey with her, but then Naomi decided it was not fair to make the two women move so far away from their families. She urged them to go back home to Moab and see if they could get new husbands. She said she would not be upset with them if they left her and that she hoped they would be blessed. The two young women were sad to hear this. They cried and hugged her, and at last, Orpah said goodbye and headed back home. Ruth was also sad, but she wasn't willing to say goodbye to her dear mother-in-law. She told Naomi that she wanted to stay with her. Even though Naomi urged Ruth to go back to her hometown and to the familiar gods of her own nation, Ruth said no. She begged Naomi not to make her leave, but rather to let her go with her to Beit Lechem. She truly wanted to worship Yahweh and learn how to become a Israelite. Can you guess what time of the year it was when Naomi and Ruth traveled back to Beit Lechem? It was the beginning of the barley harvest, exactly the time of year when Yisrael would have been celebrating Shavuot. That's why we read this story during the Feast of Shavuot. When Naomi and Ruth arrived in town, Naomi's old friends welcomed her back. Naomi told them she was sad because Yahweh had taken away her husband and sons. She felt her life was no longer happy, but bitter and gloomy. She asked them not to call her Naomi anymore, but to change her name to Mara, which means bitter. Not too long ago, you may have listened to a story or lesson that talked about one of Yahweh's rules for the grain harvest. The rule was not to be greedy, picking up all the grain off the ground when it was harvested. Yahweh knew there would be poorer people who would have no fields to provide grain for them. So they were permitted to come and pick up some of the grain that was left behind. Ruth must have learned at least some of the rules of the Torah because she asked Naomi if she could go pick up some of the leftover grain for them to eat. Naomi told her yes. When Ruth went to gather the grain left behind by the reapers, she ended up in a field belonging to a wealthy man named Boaz. Now, Boaz just happened to be a relative of Naomi. Boaz was very rich, and he had hired servants taking care of his fields. He had just returned from a trip away from home and was looking over his fields when he noticed Ruth among those who were gathering leftover grain. Boaz asked his manager who this young woman might be. The manager explained that it was a girl from Moab, Naomi's daughter-in-law, and that she was gathering grain for their food because they didn't have husbands to take care of them. Boaz went to Ruth and told her to gather grain from no other field but his only, so he could make sure she was safe. He also told Ruth that when she got thirsty, she could drink from the same water as his workers did. Ruth was very happy to hear this and asked Boaz why he was being so nice to her. Boaz, who knew Yahweh's Torah, told her that he admired her goodness to Naomi and her courage in coming to a strange place where she didn't know the customs and the rules they lived by. Ruth was amazed that this man could be so kind to someone who looked and seemed so different from the people who lived there. Boaz replied that since she had decided to find refuge with Yahweh, it was Yahweh himself who was taking care of her. Boaz knew Yahweh's command not to treat strangers unkindly, because the Israelites themselves had been strangers in Mitzrayim. Boaz invited Ruth to lunch, and she got to sit down and eat with him and his hired servants. Boaz did not want to embarrass Ruth, who did not yet know all the rules of gleaning, so he asked his servants to let her pick grain from anywhere she wanted. He also told them to leave some extra, so she had plenty to pick from. Ruth worked hard. She didn't take for granted the gift she had been given of a good way to provide for herself and her mother-in-law. She was so excited to come back and show Naomi all the grain she had gathered to make flour. Naomi was surprised to see so much grain and wanted Ruth to tell her all about her day. Ruth told her where she had gone and all about Boaz and his kindness toward her. Naomi was really excited to tell Ruth that Boaz was her relative. She realized then that Yahweh was still taking care of her, even though she hadn't seen it earlier. Ruth and Naomi now had no worries about what they would eat every day. Ruth worked hard the whole season that the barley and the wheat were being harvested. Naomi saw how hard Ruth had been working, and she felt that Ruth needed to have a good husband. She explained to Ruth another of Yahweh's rules in Torah called the Law of the Kinsman Redeemer. This law said that when a woman's husband died with no children, a close relative could marry her so that he could take care of her and give her children. Naomi told Ruth just what to do so that Boaz would know she wanted to be redeemed by him. Ruth did just as Naomi taught her, and Boaz let her know how happy he was to find out that she wanted him for her husband. Even though Boaz was older and there were a lot of young men she could have married, he was glad Ruth wanted to do things the right way, the way Yahweh had given in his Torah. However, Boaz explained to Ruth that even though he wanted to redeem her, he would have to follow certain rules, and the rules said that there was another close relative who had the right to redeem her first. Boaz promised to ask the other man for permission to redeem Ruth himself and gave her lots more barley to take home to Naomi. Naomi was happy to hear the good report and told Ruth that Boaz would do the right thing and make sure they were taken care of. According to the rules, there had to be witnesses when Boaz and the other person decided who would do the redeeming. If you were a man wanting to redeem and care for a piece of land that had belonged to a relative, the rule was that you also had to take care of his widow, that is, the woman whose husband had died, a woman like Ruth or Naomi. As soon as Boaz told the other relative that he could redeem the land, the man was all for it. But then Boaz let him know that he would also have to take care of the widow Ruth and give her a child who would grow up to own the land later after he had died. Wow, did that other relative change his mind in a hurry? He was like, "No, I'm good. I don't want to take care of someone else's land and not give as much attention to mine." Boaz was hoping for that answer, and he was eager to seal the deal. One of the customs when two men made a land deal was that one man handed his sandal and gave it to the other man in front of witnesses so everyone could see it. So the nearest kinsman redeemer took his sandal off and handed it to Boaz, and the deal was done. I sure hope he brought along an extra sandal to walk home in. The witnesses all agreed that the deal was done and spoke blessings to Boaz for doing the right thing. So Boaz and Ruth got married, and Yahweh blessed them both for doing the right thing and following Torah. The women of the town praised Yahweh because they saw how well he had rewarded Ruth and Naomi for their trust in him.